Today, we continue in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Nazir with the fourth and fifth Mishnayos of the fourth Perek. Perek Dalad, Mishneh Dalad, and Mishneh He. We've already learned quite intensively in Maseches Nedarim, and we've come across it already in Maseches Nazir. And, of course, we know this from our study of the Chumash in Parshas Matos, that a husband has the right of haforas nedorim, of nullifying his wife's neder. When a person becomes a nazir, of course, he or she does so through a neder, through a vow, so that the husband has the right to nullify his wife's commitment to be a nazira. Suppose the Mishnah says in Mishnah Dalad, Ha'isho shenodro banozir, a woman vowed to become a nazira, and she completed her naziros, 30 days, or whatever she committed, whatever duration she committed herself to. And at the end of that time, v'hifrisho es behemto, she designated and set aside animals to serve as the korbonos that she owes. When a person, man or woman, concludes his or her yemei nezirus, they must bring three korbonos, a keves, a male sheep, as a korban olo, a kivso, a female sheep, as a korban chatos, and an ayel, a ram, as a korban shlomim. So now she's finished on the zeros, and she has set aside three korbanos, three animals. V'yachakach hefer lo balo. And then at this point, her husband declares a haforo. He declares her neder null and void. Now, as long as these korbanos have not been slaughtered and their blood sprinkled upon the mizbeach, up until that time of zrikas hadam, of the blood being sprinkled upon the mizbeach, the husband still can nullify her nezirus. Once he does so, the nezirus is now cancelled, as it were, and she no longer brings the korbanos, because these korbanos only come as the culmination of a successful nezirus. She is not a nezira. Her husband cancelled it, and therefore has no obligation to bring these korbanos. Question then becomes, what do we do with these three animals? They've already been set aside. So the Mishnah explains, Im shelo hoiso behemto, if the animals were her husband's, they belonged to him, meaning he told her that she can use his animals for her obligation to bring a korban, Teitze v'sire bo'eder. So then, these animals, each and every one of them, can go out and graze, go out to the pasture with the rest of the flock. Because since he has nullified or cancelled her nezirus, she no longer has a need for these korbanos, and therefore these korbanos were never kadosh, they were never sanctified in the first place, because her husband only gave her korbanos, only set aside these animals for her to use for her korbanos if she needed, if she was required to bring korbanos. But she is not a nazira. He was mefer her neder of nazirus. So there's no kedusha at all in these animals, and therefore they can go back to the pasture land and just become part of the flock. Nothing special needs to be done with them. However, suppose these animals belonged totally to her. For example, they were given to her as a gift on the condition that her husband have no share in it. So they're entirely hers. So when she declared them kadosh, at that point they became kadosh. In the case of when the animals are owned by the husband and given to her to use, so he never gave them to her except for a use that she's required in. However, when she owns the animals outright herself, then she has the right to declare them kadosh. The kedusha does not become removed just because the husband nullified the neder. So therefore, we have a situation of animals which have been designated to be a chatos, an ola, and a shlomim. What do we do with a chatos which has no owner, so to speak? Because in this case, the owner is not the nazira that she thought she was. So the halacha is hachatos tombus. The poor animal that was designated a chatos can't be brought as a korban chatos. You can't offer a korban chatos voluntarily. You can only offer a korban chatos out of an obligation. Her obligation has been voided, nullified by her husband, yet she had the power to designate it as a chatos. So this animal is a korban chatos, but can't be offered as a korban, so the animal must die. The way it dies, this is a halacha for chatos shemesa, which we will mirza Hashem encounter many times. Chatos hamesos. The animal is put into a pen and starved to death. Chatos shemesu ba'aleho. V'ho'ola. What do you do with the animal which was designated as a korban ola? Tikrav ola. Because an ola can be given voluntarily. So therefore, she designated an animal as an ola. She owned the animal. Bring it as an ola, not as a ola required by her nazirus, but as an olas nedova, as a voluntary nedova. V'hashlamim, similarly, the shlamim, yikrevu shlamim, you can give the shlamim too as a voluntary korban. However, whereas normally a korban shlamim can be eaten for a day, a night, and the subsequent day, shnei yomim v'layla echod, in this case, since the korban shlomim is somehow derived from the nazirus, even though not totally derived, so therefore we apply to it the restrictions of the korban shlomim of the nazir, which can only be eaten the day it is brought and the following night. V'ein te'unin lechem. Although the shlomim of a nazir must be brought together with bread, as the pasuk says, "V'lokach ha-kohen es hazroa b'shelo min ha'ayil v'chalas matzo achas min hasal v'rokik matzo echot," along with the cooked meat of the ayil, which is brought as a korban shlomim by a nazir, also comes a loaf of matzah and a biscuit of matzah, and that's the case by a full-fledged nazir's shlomim. In this case, the shlomim really is not that of a nazira, because her nazirus was cancelled, and therefore the bread which otherwise would accompany a shlomim of a nazir does not accompany the shlomim in this case. Suppose, rather than having designated animals as a chatos and ola and a shlomim, hayu lo ma'os sesumin, she had put aside money to buy these karbanos. But she never said, this $10 bill is to buy the katas, this $10 bill is to buy the ola, and that $10 bill is to buy the shlomim. But rather she has a pushka, a purse or pocketbook or whatever, into which she put aside some money to be brought for the korbanos. Then, yiplu l'nedovo. That money is put in that fund in the Beis HaMikdash, out of which voluntary korbanos ola were purchased. But suppose ma'os miforoshim, suppose she had in her purse three envelopes, and each of these three envelopes she had money, and one envelope was labeled chatos, and the other was labeled ola, and the third was labeled shlomim. So the mei chatos, the money which was designated to purchase a korban chatos, yiplu liyam hamelach, that money has to be thrown into the Dead Sea, meaning it just discarded, has to be totally discarded. Lo nehenim v'lo mo'alim bohem. L'chatchila, one is not allowed to derive any benefit from that money. If one does, there is no actual korban me'ila, because since the money is supposed to be discarded, it is not kadosh, it is not holy money, so to speak, sacred money, so there's no me'ila. But nevertheless, one is not permitted to use that money. It was money designated for a chatos. A chatos cannot be brought voluntarily. She is not really a nazira anymore. Her husband was mefer her nazirus. So that money, which was designated for the korban chatos, is down the tubes. The me'ola, the money in the envelope which was designated for the korban ola, yaviu ola. Take that money, purchase an ola as a voluntary ola, not as a ola of a nazira. Then, umoalin bohem, if someone derives benefit from that money, which is designated for a korban ola, there is the din of me'ila, me'ila being the consequence that applies to a person who derives benefit from hektish, from something which belongs to the temple or which was designated as a korban, etc. And the halacha is that such a person has to repay hektish, has to repay the central fund, so to speak, of the temple. The value of the object which he got derived benefit from, plus an additional fifth, which is really an additional quarter of the of that amount. Demei shlomim, the money which was designated for the purchase of a korban shlomim, yaviyu shlomim, take that money and buy a korban shlomim. There is no me'ila, because the halacha is there is never me'ila for a korban shlomim until after the zrikas adam, until after the blood is sprinkled. Up until that time, there is no korban me'ila. V'ne'echolim liyom echot. However, the shlomim which is purchased can only be eaten for one day, meaning the day that it is brought and the following night, but not the subsequent day. V'einon tu'unim lechem, and that shlomim which was purchased with that money does not require the lechem, the breads, which normally would accompany a shlomim of a nazira. So that's Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hay is a continuation of Mishnah Dalet and continues to speak about a situation where a woman committed herself to a nazirus and set aside three animals as korbanos at the end of her nazirus term. However, in this case, nizrak oleho echod min hadomim, one of those korbanos was actually brought to the Beis HaMikdash, properly slaughtered, and its blood was sprinkled upon the Mizbeach. At that point, eino yochol lehofer, the husband can no longer nullify the nazirus. The reason being, because even though She has not yet completed the Nazirus because she has not yet shaved her hair, nor has she brought the other Karbanos. She's only brought one of them so far. But once there is Rikas Hadam, once the blood of one of the Karbanos is sprinkled, from that point on, a Nazir may drink wine and may become Tomei Lemesim. Once she can drink wine, the Tanakhama holds, the husband cannot issue a Hafara. A Hafara can only be issued for a Neder of Inui Nefesh, for a Neder where she is in some way torturing or afflicting causing herself pain. However, so therefore he can nullify a vow of his wife to become a Nazira because he doesn't want his wife to deprive herself of wine. In this situation, however, where he wants to nullify herself after there's been the Zrikas Hadam for one of the Karbanos, she is permitted to drink wine. There is no longer Inui Nefesh. There is no longer deprivation that she's undergoing. And therefore, he can no longer issue a Hafora. Rabbi Akiva goes further and says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afilu nishchato leho achas mikol habehemos. Even if there's been no Zrikas Hadam yet, but just the Shechita, one of the animals was slaughtered, but not yet has there been the sprinkling of the blood, eino yochol lehafer. From that point on, the earlier point, before the Zrikas Hadam, from the point of Shechita of one of the animals, he no longer has the right of Hafara. And the Gemara explains that the reason is Mishum Hefsed Kodeshin. We don't want the Beis HaMikdash to lose out on this Korban. Since there has already been a Shechita, if we allow him to issue a Hafora, the Nazirus is off, the animal is just a dead carcass, the altar, the Mizbeach, gets nothing from it, and so therefore we take away from him his right to issue a Hafora, and this way the Korban can continue and be offered. Bamedvor Mamurim, when is this true, that a husband, after the Zrikas Hadam, or according to Rabbi Akiva, after the Shechita, can no longer issue a Hafora, b'tiglachas hatahara, in a situation where she has successfully completed her Nazirus, she committed herself to a Nazirus for 30 days, she's gone 30 days without becoming Tomei Lemeis, without coming into contact with the dead body. So from this point, the only thing she's obligated to do is giluach, is the shaving. And but as far as the wine is concerned, she's permitted to drink wine. Well, she's permitted to drink wine. There's no longer inui nefesh, according to Rabbi Akiva from the time of Shechita, according to the Chachamim Tanakama from the time of Zrikas Hadam. No longer an inu nefesh, no longer is she depriving herself from wine, so no longer does the husband have the power to issue a hafora. Avol b'tiglachas atuma. Suppose it's a situation where in the middle of those 30 days, on day 20 or whenever, she came into contact with a dead body, and now she has to bring a different set of korbanos, not an Ola, a Shlomim, and a Chatos, but a Chatos, an Oshom, and a third Korban. Then, when she brings these Korbanos, Yofer, he still has the ability, the husband still has the ability to issue a Hafora. Why? Shehu Yochol Lomar, because he can say, look, she's going now to resume her Nazirus, and to start a new 30-day period of Nazirus Tahara. Efshi be'isha menuvelas. I do not want a woman who is menuvelas, who is ugly and deprived and without the joys of life. she's not able to drink wine, and therefore she's not for me. I can't tolerate a woman in such a condition. So therefore he has the power to nullify the Nazirus. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Af b'tiglachas ha-tahara yofer, even after the zrikas hadam of Korbanos Tahara, when she's permitted to drink wine, but she has not yet shaved her hair, yofer, the husband can issue a hafara. So Rabbi goes argues to the extreme against both Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama. And Rabbi says that even if she has brought the Korbanos and there's been a Zrikas Hadam, as long as there has not been a Giluach, as long as she's not been a Tiglachas, a haircut taken, total haircut taken by this woman, Yofer, the husband, can nullify the vow. Why? Because he wants to avoid her shaving her head, and he can say, Shehu yochel lomar efshi be'isha megulachas. I can't tolerate a woman going around in that ugly condition with all of her hair shorn. However, the Gemara explains that the Tanakhama is not concerned with the husband saying that I can't take a woman with no hair because it's so ugly to me and therefore has the power of hafara. No, she can use a peah nochris, she can use a wig. And with a wig, she'll look very fine and pretty. So therefore, he no longer has the power of hafara. Rebbe, on the other hand, says, no, a man can say, I don't want a woman without her own hair, and even a peah nochris, even a wig, a shetel, is not something I am ready to accept. I want her to have her full head of hair, and therefore I have the power to nullify her vow of Nazirus. And so we have finished lesson number 15 in our study of Mishnayos, Maseches Nozir.